Gospel of John chapter 10 is where we're going to be at tonight. And we're going to read a text of Scripture. I'm not going to repeat what I covered this morning for fear of causing confusion. If you didn't happen to be here this morning, I'd go back and recover all that if you wasn't here. So I'm just going to start fresh again. It's still along the same lines, but it'll be just a little bit different message. Gospel of John chapter 10. We want to begin at verse 22. Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. The Feast of Dedication was Hanukkah. That's what this particular, you look it up if you'd like, but it's Hanukkah. That means it was December, around December the 25th, to be honest with you. And this is when he's at the temple. And it says he walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews. Oh, the thing, I mean, if you get a pretty picture of him walking there, he just got through preaching a marvelous message on how he was a shepherd. And now he gets surrounded by Jews, unbelieving Jews. Men that despised him. Men that hated what he stood for and so on. Now, let's go ahead and look at it, verse 20. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou cause us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us. If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Okay? You know, Jesus answered and said in verse 25, I told you. He's already, I told you, and ye what? Ye believe not. I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So basically tells them two things. Number one, I told you that I was the Messiah. And not only that, but the works that I do bear witness that I'm the Messiah. No one did the works that Jesus did. For crying out loud, he raised the dead. He walked on water. He took five barley loaves and two small fish and fed thousands of people with it. Never was a man walked this planet like King Jesus. So all the works that he did bore witness to the fact that he indeed was the Messiah. God accredited him with the ability to do these great, marvelous miracles. And it proved that he was indeed who he said he was. In another place, Jesus had told these same people, search the Scriptures. In them you say you have eternal life. Search the Scriptures. They testify of me. Old Testament Scripture said that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. It prophesied of all the things that the Messiah would do. Jesus fit every bill that the Old Testament Scriptures called for concerning the Messiah. But yet, they did not believe. People say all the time, if I lived, I'd like to have a quarter for every time I've heard it. Oh, if I lived back in Jesus' day and I seen all those miracles that Jesus did, I would have believed. No, you wouldn't have. Because outward miracles does not change the inward heart. You can see the greatest things in the world and yet walk away and not believe. One of the most greatest miracles, I think, was when he raised Lazarus from the dead. After being in the grave for 4 days, he raised Lazarus. He went to the end. Folks, he went to the end of that tomb and he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And buddy, he came right out of there. That was an awesome sight. And he said, loose the grave clothes from off of him. Unwrap him. And then, you know what they did? Surely they would believe on him after raising from the dead. They knew he was dead, been dead 4 days. Did they believe on him? No. They rejected him and sought to kill Lazarus because he was a living testimony to the power of the Messiah. So, I mean, he did a lot of great miracles, and Jesus said, I told you as the Messiah, and my works bear witness of me. Does everybody see that thus far? Now's where the rubber hits the road. Jesus goes on and explains the rest, and I'll explain this a little bit further in a little bit. Jesus answered, verse 25, I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not. Because you are not of my sheep. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we've come back again to your house, to your place, to worship, Lord, we pray that the singing was found well-pleasing to you. And we pray for the people tonight, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Father, we pray that Jesus will be exalted in this next hour or so. I don't know how long, but thou knowest. But Lord, we pray that Jesus will be exalted. And we pray that your word would have free course. And we pray that you'd use it in such a fashion as you see fit. Lord, we're thankful above all things tonight for that awesome grace of God that you bestowed upon us. Creatures such as ourselves, so undeserving. Yet, Lord, you loved us for a reason that I can't even explain. But thou knowest. And Lord, tonight we pray that you would move your people to rejoice in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Now, I'd like to say this is originated with me, what I'm doing. I never usually ever do anything anybody else does. I always prepare my own message. I always have. Still yet do this. I prepare this message. But I'm doing something that someone else has done already. What I'm going to do tonight, there was a Midianite pastor, farmer, that did what I'm about to do for you tonight. And he preached from this text, and this is what he basically did. He set up two chairs, and they represent two different groups of people. Does everybody understand that? And if you'll look, you have those that hear and believe not. And, of course, on the other hand, you have those that heard and believed. And that, is that not what you see in the text? Let's go ahead and look at the text again. Jesus answered them and said, I told you and you believe not. Now, why did they not believe? That's what we're going to look at here in just a little bit. Now, there's three questions. There's actually four questions that we're going to ask before we get into the text. You ready for question number one? Why did one group, why did these that heard and believed, why did they believe not? Why did they believe not is my question. Number two, why did the second group in the text believe? That's question number two. Question number three, did believing make them sheep, or did they believe because they was sheep? Would you like me to repeat those three questions again? Question number one, why did the first group believe not? Question number two, why did the second group believe? Question number three, did believing make them sheep? Or did they believe because they was sheep? That sound fair? Okay. All right, now you ready to move into the answers? I'm going to let you answer. If you don't mind, Jesus gives us the answer to the one group here that heard and believed not. Did Jesus say they heard? He said, I told you. I've told you. I've told you that I was the Messiah. And the works that I do in my name are evidence that I am the Messiah. But ye believe not. You didn't believe. No matter what you saw. No matter what you saw, you have not believed. Okay? Now, my question to you tonight is why did they not believe? All right? There is the answer. Do you know who gives us the answer? Does anybody know? Jesus does. Jesus gives you the answer why they didn't believe. Would you look back again at verse 26? What does it say? Why does it say they did not believe? But ye believe not. What does it say? Because, that's exactly what it says, ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. You are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Oh, God's people said. So this particular group, these unbelieving Jews, they heard him and they believed not. They rejected him and they sought every way in the world to discredit him despite all that they saw. And Jesus says, now, boys, I've told you and you don't believe. And the reason why you don't believe is because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. You see, had they been sheep, they would have believed. They would have trusted him. Is that not what it says? Now, don't reason it out yet. Just look at the text. Is that not exactly what Jesus said as a reason why they didn't want anything to do with him? Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 8. He addressed them again there too in the same text. He tells them all kinds of things in John chapter 8. They weren't his sheep. We'll start slow and ease right through this message tonight. John chapter 8. Several things mentioned here. They said all kinds of things to him in John chapter 8. He had a full-scale debate with them in John chapter 8. But we're just going to pick out some of the things that he said to them. Here's one of the most offensive things amongst others that he said. They said in verse 33... They answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed. Abraham's our father. That's why they thought they were saved. They thought they inherited salvation from Abraham. They thought they were saved, folks, because they were Jews. Because of their nationality. That's why they thought they were saved. And they told that to Christ. And now in verse 39, look what Jesus says in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. They weren't Abraham's seed, folks. And that's basically what Jesus told them. You're not the children of Abraham. You know who the children of Abraham are? The book of Galatians chapter 3 says, they that be of faith are the children of Abraham. Those that who by faith have trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came through the seed of Abraham. Those are the children of Abraham. Guess what tonight? I'm a child of Abraham. That's what Galatians 3 teaches. They which be of faith are children of Abraham. If ye be Christ, Galatians 3 says, then ye are Abraham's seed. And he says in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, there will be many that come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, God's people say it. That's all grace there too, by the way. But he told them they weren't children of Abraham because they rejected the Messiah. Why do they reject him? Not his sheep. Not his sheep. Notice down in John chapter 8 and verse 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? All right. There's another question he asked. Is that not a question, John 8, 43? Why do ye not understand my speech? What's the rest of the verse say? John 8. Verse 43, because ye cannot hear my word. Is that not what it says? Underline, ye cannot hear my word. Why is that? They weren't his sheep. If you're not the Lord's sheep, you won't want nothing to do with God. You won't want nothing to do with the Messiah. You won't want nothing to do with Christ or the things of God ever. Is that not what it says? I'm not giving you something that's new. It's right here laying in front of you. Verse 47, he that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because you're not of God. Now look what the Master said to these people. He said in John 10, you're not my sheep. He said in John 8, you're not of God. Is that not what he said? He said, you don't understand because you cannot hear my word. And then he tells them they're not even children of Abraham. Now, boy, that's a blistering. You don't get any better switching than the Lord gave them over that particular thing. So let's turn back now to John. Let's turn to Matthew 15. Y'all just want to study this evening? Let's just spend some time with the King in His Word. Matthew chapter 15. Jesus hurt the Pharisees' feelings in Matthew 15. Tore him up because he did that too. And his disciples came. I mean, he gave them another blistering there. Verse 7, he called them hypocrites. Everybody see that? He called them hypocrites. And he said certain things about them, which, my friends, were completely true. And he goes on to say, now what happens here in verse 12? The disciples come, and then came his disciples unto him and said, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You know, the disciples were concerned over the Pharisees. Isn't that not the way most preachers are anymore? Scared to death of offending somebody. Really? They dance all around the Word of God so as to adjust their message to please all the well-to-do off people in their congregation that pays their salary. That's one of the reasons I'm glad I work. I'm just telling you the facts. That's the way they just dance all around. They'll come to me or somebody else and say, now, I believe what you preach, but I don't want to preach it because I'll run everybody off. Scared to death they're going to offend somebody. I want to tell you something, folks. The book of Galatians 1, Paul said, if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. My priority as a pastor is to preach the whole counsel of God and let the chips fall where they may. I don't purposely go out here with a cannon like this Bible and try to hurt somebody or offend somebody. I'm not that way. I try my best never to offend someone with the tone of my voice or sarcasm. I did my early ministry, I'm sure, from my tone, but I've tried to tone her back a notch. But I will not adjust my message to the hearers that sit in the congregation. Whether they like it or not, I'm going to teach this book what I feel is the truth. Seriously. So they were worried about the Pharisees being offended. Look what Jesus said. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted is going to be rooted up. The Pharisees claimed to be religious and God. They were tares. They weren't really children of God. They were religious sinners. And he says, they're going to be rooted up one of these days. You know there's tares in wheat? They weren't wheat, they were tares, and one day he's going to root them up. Now notice what he says. Verse 14, what's it say? Let them alone. Let them alone. Leave them alone. You know, you're in bad shape when Jesus says that about you. I'm telling you, you're in pitiful condition when he says, let them alone, just leave them alone. He said that about Ephraim in the book of Hosea. Just leave him alone. Israel hath turned to idols. Leave him alone. Just let him go. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both of them will fall into a ditch. What he's saying. So you can tell and see he was tore up over offended them, wasn't he? He said, just leave them alone, boys. Just let them go. Just let them carry on. They're not sheep. Cannot hear my word. They're not of God. They're not children of Abraham, and they're blind guides of the blind. All God's people said. That's why they believed not. That's why they were the way that they were. Now let's move on to question number two. Back to John 10. They believed not. Verse 26, look at it again, underline it. I want it to keep coming into your mind. Verse 26. They believe not because what? You're not of my sheep. Bottom line. Was they struggling trying to get the Christ to be saved? No, they hated him. They rejected him. They turned their back on him despite what they saw. You believe not because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you. What does his sheep do? My sheep will do what? They're going to hear my voice. I know them, and Brother Jim, what else? They'll follow me. His sheep will, what's it say? Will hear and do what? Believe. Yes, sir. Hear, believe, and follow. Hear, believe, and follow. Hear, believe, and follow is what his sheep will do. Now, John chapter 10, you still there? I want you to look back at verse 16 now. Verse 16. There's something I want you to notice that's really interesting about them. Notice John 10 and verse 16. And I'm going to tell you a little secret before we read it. John 10, 16 is talking about you guys. That should have got you excited. John 10, 16 is talking about you guys. Okay? Verse 16 says, Sheep I have, which are not of this fold. It means they're not Jews. They're not Jews. They are Gentiles. What are you by physical birth? You're a Gentile. And he says, other sheep I have, they're not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they might hear my voice. Somebody say, God forbid. They might hear my voice. Or does it say, I sure do hope they will? Or does it say, I'm going to do everything possible I can so that they will? Or does it say, they shall hear my voice? Shall hear it. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This group believes because they're sheep. And what I want you to notice from 10:16 is they are called sheep even before they are born again. Now, don't get offended yet. Let me explain it. Would you do that for me? There are they not? We'll just look at it. Other, I have, they're not of this fold. I'm going to bring them. Them also I must bring. He has to bring them. I must bring them, and they're going to hear my voice. Tim Lovejoy is going to hear my voice. Eddie Lovejoy is going to hear. Jim Dye is going to hear my voice. See? And I'm going to bring them. Now, how in the world did he know that they were going to come? Well, I'm going to give you two good reasons why that he knew. And these are things that we already know. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 19. I want to show you a little something. Everybody in the house, I believe, loves that song, Victory in Jesus. But a lot of times we sing hymns and don't pay no attention to the words in them. It's just flashy and a toe tapper. Victory in Jesus, I love that song. But you know one of the parts of that song says that He sought me. He what? He sought me and He bought me. Do you know the Lord sought you? Do you know He sought you out? He sought you out. Eddie, He sought you out. Now, one of the things the Bible says, look at Luke 19:10. This is why Jesus knows that these sheep will hear His voice. It's because, my friends, He's going to seek every one of them out. Every single one of them He will seek out. Luke 19:10 says what? The Son of Man is come to do what? What does it say? Two things there with S's. S number one, seek. S number two, save. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Who does the seeking? The shepherd does. The shepherd does. He seeks his sheep, Aunt Linda. He seeks them out. Dave Eisner, he was a sheep. He brought you into contact with someone that could tell you where you could come to and hear the gospel. He then called and said, He sought you out. You will never hear me talk about being saved and saying the day that I found Jesus by His grace. That was the day that Jesus found me. That's a lot of difference there. Well, what does it say? Luke 19:10. He seeks and saves that which is lost. Now, if you look at verses 1 through 9, it's what leads up to verse 10. Do you know what verses 1 through 9 tells you about? It tells you about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Wee little man. He was a publican. He was a sinner. He was wicked. He was a chief amongst publicans. I mean, that means he had other tax collectors working for him. He stole from people. He was a crook. People hated Zacchaeus. While Zacchaeus lived in Bancroft, no one would want him to come to this church because everybody hated him. And you know what happened in verses 1 through 9? You can read it at home. You know, everybody knows what happened. The king come by that way. And he looked up in that sycamore tree and he said, what did he say? Called him by name, he knew him. He knew him. Zacchaeus, you come down here, son. I'm going to your house today. Jesus sought and saved that man. All God's people said. And all I'm telling you tonight is that's the same thing that he did for you. Your salvation wasn't some type of accident that happened by luck. He sought you out. Called and saved your soul. That's what he did. Well, that's not the only text we want to look at. Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 15. We'll make a statement here in just a little bit. Just be patient. I've got to do this easy. And steps. Everybody see what we're saying thus far? Why did the second group believe? Because they were sheep. And they were going to believe, Jesus said. He called them sheep in verse 16 even before they had actually been, even before they'd been born yet. We hadn't even been born yet when he wrote John 10:16, but he calls this birth of sheep. And he says, you're going to hear my voice. You know why they're going to hear his voice? You know why they're going to hear it? It's because he's going to seek them out, and he's going to quicken them, and he's going to open their heart, and he's going to draw them right to himself. All right, would you like for me to prove that? Luke 15. Parable of the lost. The parable of the lost what? Nobody said it with me. The parable of the lost sheep. How many of you have ever heard it? Okay, let's look at it now. He spake this parable unto them, saying, verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one, let's not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost. And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders and he rejoices. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and he says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you likewise, there's joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. There you have a picture of the shepherd seeking a lost what? Today, by the grace of God, I'm a found sheep. And everybody here in the congregation tonight is saved. You're a found sheep. He sought you out and saved you. Who does that give glory to do? It gives glory to the King. But you know what I was before I was saved? Don't answer. Please don't answer. You know what I was before I was saved? I was a lost sheep. I was a lost sheep. The day I was saved, I became a found sheep. And that's the day that the shepherd found me. I never was a goat. I hear that over and over. I was a goat and I became a sheep. No, you wasn't. You were a lost sheep. You were a lost sheep. That's what the Bible teaches. It shows us that clearly in Scriptures. So we've looked at these two. We've answered these two questions. We know why they didn't believe. They didn't believe why because they were not sheep. These, on the other hand, did believe. Why? Right. These believed because they were sheep. These did not believe because they were goats. Matthew chapter 25, let's turn there real quick. Matthew chapter 25. either sheep or a goat. Verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25. I hope I got the right text. I'm sorry. Let's begin verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all His holy angels with Him, how many believes He's going to do that? Yes, sir. He's coming. And He shall sit, verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. He's going to separate them. There ain't going to be no goats in heaven, just sheep. And He'll set the sheep on His right hand. Boy, I hope I did this right. Look here. I planned that. He'll set the sheep on His right hand. He'll set the goats on His left hand. You know what He's going to say to the sheep? Verse 34, look what He says to the sheep. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All God's people say it. For crying out loud, say amen to that. Prepared for you from the foundation. Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That no one says. Prepared for the what? What's that book called that their name's enrolled in? Does anybody know? Scott says it's called the Lamb's Book because everybody, all the sheep's names in it. Matthew chapter 25. Here's what's going to happen to the goats. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the only reason that that's not you is because of God's grace. Amen. That's the only reason. Why? Question number 3, turn back to John 10. Third question I asked, did believing make these people, did hearing and believing make them sheep, which that's what most people think, 99.9. When you hear and believe, you become a sheep. Or did they believe because they was sheep? What does the text say? Let's look at it again. You believe not because you're not My sheep, as I said to you, verse 27, My sheep's going to hear My voice. They're going to hear it. That means they're going to hear Him. They're going to trust Him. You know why they're going to believe, folks? You know why they're going to hear and believe? Because they're sheep. They don't become a sheep by hearing and believing. They believe Jim died because they're sheep. You see the difference? Does everybody see the difference between the two? They believe because they're sheep. I don't know. I don't know who the Lord's sheep is. Till when? Yeah. What does the sheep do here and now, though? They hear His voice. You know what He tells me to do? He tells us to go preach the gospel. That's what He tells us to do. I'm not a hard shell, and I'm up to my head with people calling me a hard shell or a hyper-Calvinist. I hate that term. And that is a lie. That is a lie, and that's a misrepresentation of what I believe and this church believes. It really is. We must preach the gospel. We must spread the gospel to every creature. That is what He's called the church to do, is it not? He's told us to go out, son, and spread that message. And folks, that's exactly what we do. That's why we have a radio broadcast. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. That's why we have Sunday School. That's why we have Bring a Friend services. It's because we get that message out there. So if someone says that I'm a hard shell, you say, you don't know what you're talking about. A hard shell don't believe in spreading the gospel. Do you all realize that? I don't believe you have to. But you do. That's what God's called us as. That's what He's called His church to do. Now, you know what happens, Brother Coy? As you spread the gospel, you know the Lord calls His sheep with it. And as He calls them, you know what His sheep will do? Them lost sheep will respond to it. When He'll quicken their heart, He'll open their eyes, He'll open their blinded eyes, just like Amazing Grace says. And they'll draw right to Jesus. And that's how you know His sheep. Is they hear the message and they respond to it. That's when you know them. Actually, when they hear it and stay. Well, some people make professions and turn their back on them. And a true child of the King will never do that. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any do what? Pretty big hands to pluck out of, is it not? Oh, God's people say it. Okay. Now, he calls them again, my sheep. And the reason why He calls them my sheep is because they belong to who? They belong to Christ. All right, let's do a quick study. I'm going to go over just a little bit. Is that okay? John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're just going to do a study, a quick study here in John, just John, of the word given. That's all we're going to look at. I could look at 100 other things, just sticking simple to the word given. Does that sound fair? Would you all look at it with me? All right, John chapter 6. Notice what it says in verse 37. Here's one of those half verses. This is a half verse because you never hear the whole verse quoted. It's always half. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever heard? Now, of course, if you went here, you know what I'm getting ready to do. But we all heard, and you hear me say, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast them out." How many has heard that? Would you raise your hands good and high? We all heard that. You'll hear that on the radio. That's a popular saying, and it's true. It's true. But that's half a verse. Look at the whole verse in verse 37. What's it say? Somebody read the first half. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And you know who those people that, you know who those given are? That's His sheep. And you know who the Father gave them to? He gave them to Jesus. He gave them to Christ. That's what He did. He gave them to the Lord. He gave them to King Jesus. And let's keep going. John 6 now. Let me move on to another one because I want to move best I can. John 6 verse 65. And He said, "Therefore said I unto you," John 6:65, "that no man can come to me." There's that verse 44 said the same thing. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. Remember that? The reason why it says no man can come is because men are dead and they won't come till they're made alive. Here's another text that says that, and I haven't used it much. And He said, "Therefore said I unto you, no man can come to me except what? That's exactly what it says. No man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. You know who that's speaking of? His sheep. John chapter 17. verse 2. Folks, it behooves you to be able to answer these things if you reject these things. You got to give an answer for these. This is God's Word. All right, it says that He gave all that the Father giveth me might come. They're going to come. You know why they're going to come? He's going to seek them out. And going to call them and quicken them and draw him to himself. John 17, as thou hast given him, verse 2, everybody look at it. Thou hast given him power over all flesh that he should give what? That he should give what? Amen. He gives eternal life to as many as thou hast what? If you was here Wednesday night, you already know this. I'm not going to turn. You know when He gave you to the Son? He gave you to the Son before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 said He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children, according to the good pleasure of His will. And I can't help it because it says that it does. And you can either tear it out of your Bible or you can believe it. I believe it. I believe it. My friends, I believe it. And I preach it. And I have for 24 years. That is salvation. Without it, you wouldn't have none. Without the grace of God, you'd have none. Why preach it? Why preach it? Why not forget it? I know I've heard of preachers that believe it. You know, I'll whisper it to you. Now, yeah. I believe that now, Jeff. Well, there's so many texts. Look up the word elect and see how many times. He will send forth His angels and they will gather together His from the four corners of His what? The word elect means chosen. Look it up. I believe it, but I don't want to do what? I want to preach it because it's offensive to folks. It's very offensive. It's not intended to be offensive. Why preach this? Why don't I just leave it alone? After all, it doesn't change anything as a church that we do as far as presenting the gospel. We do our job. We present the gospel. We rely upon the Holy Spirit to call His people. When they come, we know who they are. Why preach it? Why not just shove it under the carpet and then no one would ever be offended? And you know what? We could get more people in here. Then you can give me a big raise. Why not do that? The doctrine of election, my friends, marks you as a man. These young men, there's preachers here who believe the doctrine of election. People wonder why they don't preach in this church, that church, and that church. Churches don't want people believing election preaching in their pulpits. Scared of it. Frightened of it. My poor old Uncle John, it broke his heart. He took his family to attend a Baptist church up in Marlington. And the pastor met him in the parking lot and said, "You're not welcome here." Can you imagine that? You know why? Because he believed this doctrine. I listened to preachers that are Baptists that says that this is a damnable doctrine. You need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. With regard to this doctrine, people swift to wrath, slow or quick to speak, and slow to listen. It does mark you. People whisper and call you a Calvinist. I hate to be called a Calvinist. Listen, I hate to be called a Calvinist. You say, well, that identifies. No. Paul believed he preached these things 1,500 years before John Calvin ever did. For crying out loud. Visions 1, 4, and 5 wasn't written by John Calvin. It was written by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. I hate to be called that. Bible teaching. Call it what it is. Bible teaching is exactly what it is. Let's forget this. Shove it under the corner. Listen, folks. You know who this does? You know another reason you should preach it? It honors God. It honors God. Salvation's of the Lord. Let me read you a little something. My dear reader, you may approach the throne of mercy and say this, Sovereign Lord, I'm so happy that I decided to give you a chance to save me. I'm so delighted that my free will has allowed you to do what you longed to do but could not do until I agreed to allow you to do it. I say you may speak thus, but as for me and my house, I will say, 'Tis not I that did choose thee, for Lord, thou this that could not be. His heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me. Thou from sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live for thee. Oh, God's people said. Man, God ain't on the sidelines out here, unable to save. This honors God. Honors the King. He is indeed the author of salvation. He indeed can. If he can't save a sinner, why pray for him to do so? You know, the difference is whether salvation God does it or man does it. As for me and my house, I believe that God's the one that does it. It honors the King. The other disrespects the King and makes salvation solely rest in the hand of man. The other makes salvation solely rest in the hand of God. It's your decision which one you want to believe. This humbles me. Makes me just want to lie in the dust and just cry out, oh, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 4 says, who made you to differ from another? Who made you? You want to answer? Not if you don't believe. That's not true if you don't believe in election. You made you to differ. Because you're smarter than everybody. You were smart enough to see that Jesus is the Savior. Is that really what you feel? No, it humbles you. It's not because you're smarter, brighter, or more intelligent. It's because of His grace. That's what this doctrine does. It puts you in your place. It takes you totally out of scenes and gives all the glory and praise to God, which is why Saul of Tarsus said what? After he was saved, I am what I am by the grace of God. It excludes all boasting on your part. You know, isn't it humbling whenever you look at someone and you say, boy, look at that rotten old drunk. You ever have anybody, boy, look at that rotten old drunk over there. And then you got a brother look at him and say, hey, that could have been you. That could have been you walking that way, living that way. Some of you have been called out of that kind of lifestyle. It wasn't for God's grace, you'd still be in it. He deserves the glory for that, does He not? It wasn't because you was brighter or smarter, it's because of His grace. You know what else it does? It promotes evangelism. I'll show you one more text and we'll close. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll wind this up. I'm not trying to wear you out. I just can't quit in the middle of something. And I can't preach 10 minutes worth of preaching next week on it either. So I've decided to take that extra 10 minutes. Election's not a reason to sit. It's a reason to go. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul said in verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, because he preached the gospel, he suffered trouble, even in the bonds. They put poor old Paul. Paul went through prison. 3 times he was beaten. I mean, he got beatings, 39 stripes, several different times. Four times. 3 times he's beaten with rods and different things. 1 time he's in a shipwreck. I bet his poor old back just was scarred all to pieces, don't you? He went through a lot. You know why he went through a lot? To get the gospel out. Now, let him tell you himself. Y'all care? Let him tell you himself. Verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the what? Everybody see that? Does anybody want to go ahead and tell me what the word elect means? What it means. You say, well, it just pertains for the Jew. Does it really? Who was Paul sent to? He was sent to the Gentile. He said, I suffer all these things for the elect's sake. Now, I'm not done with that verse. What does the rest of it say? That, why did he suffer all things for the elect? That they may do what? That they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with their eternal glory. That's why he went through what he did. He went through what he did, Jimmy, to get that message out there. And then God would take that message and call his people with it. Okay? So, it was a reason to go, and it's still a reason to go. What's happened to a lot of Baptist churches that believe this doctrine is they went to, can I quote my Uncle John? They went to seed on it. They went to seed on it. That's all they preach. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. All that. And God's called us to spread the gospel. It's an honorable teaching, but it's one teaching. There's a lot of other teachings in the Word of God. We stress it. We stress other teachings too. But it's a reason to go, not a reason to sit. And then he uses that precious word to call his people. Everybody see it? I've got all kinds of books on the doctrine of election up here if you'd like to look at them. I'd like for you to believe it, but I'd like for you to believe it because you see it. Oh, it's intended to be as a blessing. I don't know about you, but I do know about you. Isn't it a blessing to think that he loved you before the world ever began? And then when you look back at yourself, you know, I didn't know that when I was first saved. I thought I found Christ. And I thought I was smart enough to come to him, and everybody else was goofy. And then I learned that it wasn't that at all. I learned that it was the Lord that made me to differ. And that I am what I am by His grace, and it put me in my place. And it was a blessing to my heart, and it's been a blessing ever since, and it's intended to be a blessing to you. Now, you can call it a damnable doctrine if you like, but you better watch very careful, because there'll be a day that you'll wish you hadn't said that. It's not a damnable doctrine. It's a salvation doctrine. Without it, men would have continued right on in their sin and walked into hell with both eyes wide open. And that same thing would have happened to you. All God's people say, so I'll stand.